Shen back to get it. He'll pass up the right wing to Verbata at the Coyote blue line. He shot it on the Hawk line. Jomerson sends Hoso way into the Coyote zone. He shoots, he scores! From the slot on a breakaway, Marian Hossa beats Mike Smith with a slap shot, and the Blackhawks lead 4-0. And with that goal, Marian Hossa now ties Jeremy Roenick, a former Hawk, 513 career goals, 38th all-time in National Hockey League history.
How does he do it? So consistent, night in and night out. Even when the Blackhawks lose to the Rangers, somehow, some way, I still feel like I hear a John Weideman calling a Blackhawks goal. Man's a legend, Harry Tynowitz.
Well, he called one last night. They just took it away from us.
Well, these things happen. The voice of your Blackhawks on WGN Radio, John Weideman, joining us. Welcome to your home, John Weideman. Thanks for taking some time on a Saturday afternoon for us.
Hey, great to be on with you guys. It gives me a chance to take a break from what I was doing, which was out in my backyard. I was working on the rink we have in our backyard. So Troy Murray told me it was going to be a lot of work, so I'm finding that out firsthand.
It's
going to be a great rink.
And you still play, right, John? When you have time in your schedule, you'll go out and get out there and battle.
Carm, if I could play 5 days a week, I would. But, you know, having the responsibilities that I have and having a family, it's really hard to get ice. But, you know, the two or three times a week that I do get on, I really enjoy it.
That's a rink in the backyard. That is awesome. That's so damn Canadian of you, John. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we came out hearing you call Marian Hossa. You know, he's already surpassed last season, 64 games, 13 goals. And this season, Marian Hossa, by the way, Hossa is Slovakian for beast. This season, dude's played like, what, 27 games, 14 goals already. What is the difference?
He has had a lot of rest, Harry, and it's a good point by you. He's had a lot of rest during the summer, and it's made an enormous difference for him. I mean, the older you get as a pro athlete, I think the more important rest becomes. I mean, you guys remember when we were in our early 20s, we had so much energy, we couldn't sit still, right? So, but then, you know, after the accumulation of all the games, and Marian's played over 1,000, you know, and that was just, those are just regular season games. You add in all the playoff games and the international games he's played, whether it be the Olympics or the recently completed World Cup, that guy's played a lot of hockey, especially over the last 5 years. And because of the Blackhawks' success in the playoffs, actually include the 2009-10 Cup Final, and even before that, it was the year with Detroit and then the year with Pittsburgh before that, he was in the Stanley Cup Final. So, you know, he has had to play a lot of hockey. And that means that the summers go from June, July, and August to half of June, all of July, and part of August, and then he's training again for the next year. And that's just, that doesn't even cover the injuries that the hockey players will sustain along the way. And some of those injuries become chronic after a while. But Marian is an amazing guy. He stays in phenomenal condition. And he needed a little bit of rest to recharge the batteries, you know, in between seasons. And I'm not surprised that he's having this kind of success. I'm actually enjoying it a lot.
Fred Seabrook back on the ice this morning. John Weideman with us here on 720 WGN. He's got the upper body injury. Blackhawks and the Dallas Stars tomorrow. That's obviously good news, but still nothing from Jonathan Toews. And I know that you don't want to break any news that we shouldn't know here, but what can you tell us about what's going on with Toews? Because I know Blackhawks fans are very interested.
No, I don't know, guys, really. I don't know any more than you do. I mean, I hear upper body injury the same as you do, and I don't go into the coach's office or the general manager's office and say, hey, can you tell me what's going on with this guy or that guy? It'll stay between us because, you know, they've got to protect the guys, and I understand that. So I keep my nose out of that, and I just go along. And when the guys are back playing, they're back playing. I would think that Toews is probably going to be back within a week. I wouldn't be a bit surprised to see him miss tomorrow night's game but join us for the road trip when we go to New York, and St. Louis. And when you think about it, guys, you're in the middle of the season, and you got an important guy like Jonathan Toews and Brent Seabrook as well, not to dismiss Seabrook. I mean, he's a huge part of the Blackhawks defense and team overall. But, you know, at this time of the season, when you've got so many games compressed into such a tight space, it's probably not a bad idea to let other guys play and let these guys recuperate and come back to 100%. And then that way you've got them in the months of February, March, April, and then the important months, obviously, in the playoffs, April, May, and let's all keep our fingers crossed we end up in June. So I look at it like, yeah, it'd be great to have them along, but the team has been able to gain points without those guys in the lineup. And that isn't to say that we don't need them, because we do. Over the long haul, they wouldn't be as successful. But I think it's been great that the depth has stepped up and really have made this a competitive hockey team. I think they could have won last night's game against the Rangers. You give the Rangers credit. They were savvy when it came to the offsides call. And, you know, it cost Marian Hossa a goal, and they ended up scoring the game winner in overtime. But that's how it goes. The Blackhawks did get a point out of it, and now you move forward and play Dallas tomorrow night.
Yeah, and you know, it's like you said, they keep getting points. You know, only two teams have a point more than they do. Hawks the most points in the West. You know, talking about Seabrook, I couldn't believe that he's only missed 12 games in 11 seasons. You know, playing in the NHL, that's just mind-boggling. Staying on defense, defenseman for 400, Alex. John, Nicholas Hjalmarsson goes from playing the left defense to the right defense, you know, moving from the left, you know, left to the right. How hard is that?
It can be difficult for some guys, but for somebody like Nicholas Hjalmarsson, he understands what's expected, and so he knows that the passes that he makes, some of them may have to be on his backhand. And if you've ever watched Nicholas Hjalmarsson defend, you see him use his stick quite a bit in the backhand part of it to chip pucks away. But then when he gets the puck and he's in an awkward corner, or an awkward position in the corner, I should say, and he's got to move the puck to a safe area, many is the time he'll put it on the backhand part of his blade, and there'll be like a guy hitting a 60-degree wedge on a golf course. The puck goes up into the air, almost hits the scoreboard at center ice, and it ends up landing either at the opposition blue line or out at center ice, and then it forces the team that's attacking to skate back over the blue line and regroup, which gives the Blackhawks time to reposition. So Hjalmarsson is a guy that, in my opinion, nothing bothers him. He knows that, yeah, there's going to be duress regardless of the position he plays on the ice. But I think that he is a proud enough guy that he says, yeah, give that position to me. Give that assignment to me. I'll take care of it, and I'll take care of it for the team. And he's been able to handle it every time Joel Quenneville has put him in that position.
So Steve Larmer gets honored last night, John Weideman, one of the great Hawks of all time. And it's kind of interesting, you know, look at the only Blackhawks to score more goals in a Hawks sweater than Larmer, Bobby Hull and Stan Mikita. I think people kind of forget about number 28. That was cool to see him out there last night.
Yeah, he was up in our booth, too, and Troy Murray and Judd Surratt had an opportunity to talk with him, and I had a chance to eat while I was listening to the conversation. You guys know how much I love to eat. And I just enjoyed hearing Steve Larmer's version of things, and I didn't know that, you know, he and Savvy used to be combative on the bench all the time in between shifts. But I think that's what helped make them great, because they had high expectations of themselves and of one another and the guys that played on that great line. And Harry, I don't know, Carm, I don't know how old you are, but I remember Savard, Secord, and Larmer.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the best lines in the National Hockey League for about, I'd say, 5 years.
It's one of the best lines in Blackhawk history.
No, for sure. There's no question about that. And I think Bob Pulford was the one. It might have been Orville Tessier that put them together. I can't remember exactly. Troy would know. But when they got together that first time, I remember seeing one of their first games on TV. It was an away game. And I remember seeing them play together, and I thought, wow, this is working out. These three are working great together. And remember, Larmer's a left-hand shot. He was playing the right wing, so he was playing on his off wing. Didn't bother him at all. And so I have that memory of Steve Larmer. My other memory of Steve Larmer is, I think that to me it's more poignant, is that in the playoffs, Larmer was always there. He was always there to score a big goal. He was always there to make a smart defensive play, a little defensive play, underrated as a defensive forward, should have won the Selke at least once. And he was the guy that just didn't miss games. He was money in the bank. He was like the milkman. He was going to be at your door every morning. So, you know, Steve Larmer, you could go on and on about his greatness. It's unfortunate that he had to leave the Blackhawks to go and win a Stanley Cup with the New York Rangers. But, hey, it was great to see him down on the ice and absorb that moment of standing on the blue line for the national anthem and, you know, being a part of that and being appreciated by the great Blackhawks fans.
That's so cool. I love that they're doing that. It's awesome.
He was still chewing gum like he did when he played. It was awesome. You know, I'm just basking in the glow of the Orville Tessier mention. That it was solid. Solid drop in the conversation. I love you dropping that in. Larmer should hold the record for most consecutive games played, but that's another story. Tomorrow night, the Dallas Stars are at the UC. It should be a great game. And then you mentioned a three-game road trip, Tuesday at the Rangers, Thursday at the Islanders. So the obvious question is, what does a John Weideman do on his off day / off night in New York City?
Okay, well, I used to work in New York, and I've got a lot of friends up that way. So I'm going to probably get together the night that we get in. I'm supposed to meet a good friend of mine I work with the Islanders, because we're doing a charity thing, and I'm going to help him out with that, and then probably go get dinner with him. The Rangers game will be on Tuesday night, so we'll have all day Wednesday. Excuse me. And I think what I'm going to try and do is get together with a friend of mine up there who now works with the Knicks. His name is Alan Hahn. Alan was a beat writer for the Islanders, covering the Islanders for Newsday magazine, and he and I got to be really good friends. And so I'll probably try and catch up with him. I know in there I'm going to have to get a couple of workouts in the gym. Probably walk the streets of Manhattan a little bit. You know, maybe, I don't know, stop into some places. I don't know, Harry, I don't know how you are about delis, but I love New York delis. And I can't get enough of those.
I love the 11-pound pastrami sandwich.
Yeah, nothing like it.
Yeah.
But I'll probably do a little of that. And I'm going to get some work done, too. And then, you know, later on in the evening, it's going to be time to just kick back. And I've got a couple of good books. I'm a big studier of the Kennedy assassination. So anything I can get my hands on as far as that's concerned, I will probably read it. And I've got a book right now I'm reading. So that's pretty much the nuts and bolts, other than FaceTiming with my family, of course. So that's it.
Busy,
boring existence, but it's how I roll.
Big, busy man, John Weideman.
God, I wanted to talk New York City, you know, with you and, like, you know, ask you if you've been to White Horse Tavern, the great bar in the village. But
is that the oldest one?
No, McSorley's. McSorley's is the oldest, where you get two beers at once.
Levain's for the chocolate chip cookie on the Upper West
Look
Side.
At you.
J.G. Mellon's for the burger on the Lower East Side. It's phenomenal.
JFK conspiracy. Have you seen the movie Executive Action?
Not yet.
You need to see it. It's all about the conspiracy, know, and all the witnesses that died within, you know, weeks of the assassination.
Oh, yeah.
Harry's inviting himself over to watch movies, just so you know, John.
Harry, we could do a 3-hour show just on that easy, I think.
Oh, yeah. Know? But
and really sell it, too.
But I would miss it if I was listening to you for 3 hours and you didn't say the puck is along the half boards.
Hey, John, before you go, if the Blackhawks will win the Stanley Cup this year, if X happens, what would you say?
Oh, boy. The Blackhawks will win the Stanley Cup in 2016-17 if, oh boy, it might not be just one thing. I would say, can I get two?
Can I get
two here?
Sure, absolutely. You're John Weideman.
Okay, well, that's nice. If they stay healthy, and if Stan Bowman and the hockey ops guys make a key acquisition around the trade deadline, and I'm not sure for what position, but normally that is part of the Blackhawks winning a cup. You know, Stan, I think, made some great moves for the 2015 cup, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he did that. So those are going to be my two. If the Blackhawks do this and that, they'll win a cup.
Fair enough. That'll work. I'll take it.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's a
lot. All right.
We will be listening tomorrow night. Judd Surratt has the pregame at 5:30, and then John Weideman and Troy Murray with all the exciting action of Blackhawk hockey and your home for the Chicago Blackhawks, WGN Radio.
John, always appreciate the time.
Can't wait, guys. Yep. And I appreciate you guys having me on. I got to get back outside and work on my rink. So snow is flying, and it's that time of year, boys.
Get the Oregon up. Frank Pellico's getting cold.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That and maybe have some buddies over and, you know, some libations of the, you know, the adult kind. So we'll see.
It's a beautiful night. Thanks, John.
All right. You got it, guys. Take care.